Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments you would like to make during the broadcast, please feel free to email me at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. Tonight, I believe there's a glitch with the telephone system for Blog Talk Radio. My guest is really having a hard time getting through. So while we're trying to remedy that situation, I'll be talking to you for a little bit. First of all, a reminder that our healing weekend is only 6 weeks away. It's hard to believe it, but it's converging upon us, and I'm so excited that I'm going to be meeting with some of the most wonderful women. I've already met some of them. I'm going to meet some new ones, and it's a very satisfying experience being with other women who understand exactly what you're talking about. You don't even have to say a word, and we're going to have some really wonderful workshops there, including some therapeutic workshops to help women to move on to the next part of their life while they're going through healing. Information sessions, so very excited about it. If you are interested in coming, there's still a few seats that are left. Please feel free to contact me at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. I know that this is my 14th year of doing healing weekends, and it's, like I say, an incredible experience to, first of all, meet with other women who know your struggles, because so seldom do you find women who can really understand the situation. And in fact, my new newsletter, which is running late, I know, people have been asking me where it is, but it's really addressing the situation of us feeling ashamed when people, question us, how did we marry a gay man? And that's the very sad part about life, is that you, who have been victimized to start with, have to keep being a victim. And that's why I'm really pushing for our We Too campaign, and that women have to start telling their stories. That's the only way that things are ever going to change. So my newsletter will be out in the next week. It'll be the March-April edition because it is late. And April's going to be a rough month because I'm busy getting ready for the healing weekend. So hopefully there'll be enough information in there to keep you busy for a while. While I'm waiting for my guest to see if he can get through on the line, because we're really trying, I would like to go over an article with you that I found really so important for women, because many women who are in these situations go through emotional abuse. I mean, it's just the nature of living with a gay husband. Women are not meant to live with gay husbands. They're meant to live with a straight husband. And a gay man goes into this marriage hoping that it will change him, but it doesn't change his sexuality. It may change some of the ways that he has, but it can't change who he is. And as a result, many of our women get caught up in emotional situations. I believe my guest is coming on just now, so let me just let him in, and then we'll talk about that situation. Is that you, Bill?
It is me, Bonnie. Hello.
Well, welcome to the show,
Good
Bill.
Evening.
I'm so glad that
Thank you. You're here.
Glad that you're able to make it. I know I was really excited that you're coming on because you always add such wonderful insight to our show. And how are things in Chicago with you?
You know, things are fine out here. We had a, you know, very beautiful weekend, sunny skies, you know, 57 degrees. My wife and her sister and brother-in-law and family took a long walk. So all is good. Yeah, I'm happy to be on your show and looking forward to, you know, contributing as best I can.
As you always do, and I really do appreciate it. I was just talking a little bit before you got on the show about the whole situation of emotional abuse and
right.
how to, that the women who are going through this suffer from emotional abuse. And primarily, as you know, that we've talked about this before, that women are not meant to be married to gay men. I mean, that's not the way that life is structured. And when
right.
they enter into a marriage, they don't know they're marrying a gay man. And I think
right.
that these men, for the most part, truly do love their wives to the best of their ability, and they really want to make things work because they don't want to be gay. But
right.
as the marriage progresses and they can't help themselves, they're caught in between, you know, a rock and a hard place because they cannot function as a straight man. They can
exactly.
only pretend so long, and they feel that sense of frustration, and they take it out on their wives, and it becomes a very big stream of emotional abuse. And it's so hard for women to get out of the situation because I think the more you're in an abusive situation, the more beaten down you become. And since you've worked with so many couples, do you find that to be your experience?
Yes. You know, I think that you're – I mean, I agree with you completely. It's – you know, it's very difficult to, you know, that I think what you just sort of start off with a very deep level of dishonesty on the part of the gay man who's, you know, marrying a straight woman. As you said, the internalized homophobia, you know, they don't want to be gay. And even though they, you know, have sexual feelings towards men, they, you know, they make every effort they can to conform to society and their family and marry women. And it's, you know, it's, you just start off with a very deep lie, which is very abusive. And, you know, many of the women don't really understand that. And they are very optimistic and hope that the marriage will, you know, last forever. And it just, you know, usually doesn't. Yeah,
I think
so.
One of the problems is, I was discussing this earlier today with a gay gentleman, is that women don't really understand gay men marrying a straight woman. Because, you know, I grew up in the 60s and, you know, the early 70s, when gay people were just coming to the forefront, you know, to be more actively out there.
Right.
And to me, homosexuality always meant just that, a man who wants a man or a woman who wants a woman.
Right.
It would never now dawn on me that a man would want to marry a woman if he were gay. And I think that's a starting point where women have a problem of understanding how this can happen. Have you found that to be your case with people you work with?
Yeah, it's pretty clear that, I mean, there are some men that don't really understand their, you know, attractions to other men. But I think that, you know, like, as you said, that was, you know, the 60s were like nearly, let's do the math, were nearly over 50 years ago. So a lot about our culture has changed, you know, attitudes about homosexuality and, you know, same-sex marriage, they're really changing throughout the country. So I think in some ways, you know, it would be nice if we were only talking about, you know, couples who got married in the 60s and 70s and maybe 80s, but it's still, you know, still happening. And, you know, I know that there are men who marry straight women who get divorced and then understand they're gay, but still go out and marry straight women again. So it's a pretty persistent desire on their part to hide and to act straight. And again, as I mentioned before, conform to the expectations of their family, their community, and their culture. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's a very, you know, it's a very harmful situation for the straight woman because, like, as you say, you know, these gay men who are, you know, trying to remain married to straight women, they definitely blame the wife for a lot of the, you know, intimacy problems. And like, uh-huh. You know, you've said this many times, it's like, you know, in the beginning of a relationship, you know, gay men can have, you know, great sex with their wives, and it's the wife is completely in the dark about, you know, their prospective and recently, you know, married husband. It's, they're just in the dark about what their true feelings are. But after they're married, maybe there's a few kids, you know, the ability for the gay man to be intimate with their wives really diminishes, and they do a lot of blaming. You know, they blame the wife for this and that, and it's, you know, it's, there's some pretty pretty harmful comments that I've heard from gay men about their wives, you know, and before they come out as gay. So it's hard.
And it's like when some men tell me that, you know, this is, to me, just always amazes me, when they say to me that the marriage wouldn't have worked anyway because they're two very different people. Well, that's true. But
right.
That's not why it's not working. It's not working, you know, and I would say, well, what can you give me, something specifically what you're talking about? Well, my wife is very suspicious. You know, every time I go out, she's suspicious. I said, well, every time you go out, she should be suspicious because you're out there having relationships with other men. I mean,
right.
Her suspicion has to be based on some gut feeling. It's just not because she's a suspicious little housewife. But they don't seem to understand that. They think she's a gnat.
Right.
Or why are you tracking everything I'm doing? Well, when the trust isn't there to start with, am I right?
Of course, yeah. You know, it's like you're kind of describing, I mean, it's not just, you know, some man who's gay and happens to be married to a straight woman. You're really talking about probably someone with some type of personality disorder where, you know, they just sort of lack empathy. I mean, any husband would be, who's having other relations outside their, with their, outside of their marriage, you know, they would understand that their wife would have feelings about that and would not be very happy about the idea that they were going out and meeting other people at bars and having sex with them. You know, somehow they think they're exempt because they're, you know, gay men, and their wives should just be, you know, quiet and subservient at home, I suppose. But it's, you know, it's really, you know, it's very abusive.
Or else they say they're not cheating because, it's, you know, they're not with, you know, many of them have said to me, well, it's not really cheating because I'm not with another woman. So, you know, if I was cheating on my wife with a woman, that would be cheating. But I'm having just a sexual encounter with a man, so how could that be cheating?
Yeah, that's just ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah, and that's you know, that's a gay man who's at least being honest with you. You know, most of the situations that I'm aware of, you know, the gay man's not really being honest with anyone except, you know, even the men that they may be hooking up with for, you know, casual sex. They're just sort of living a life of, you know, a big lie. You know, it's a, but, you know, it's tragic, really.
It is. And, you know, I just want your opinion on something, Bill, because you're a therapist. You know, you're licensed, you know, licensed through social work. You do, you know, counseling, therapy. You've dealt with everything. One of the
right.
issues that I'm just trying to understand with women, I understand how beaten down we become from the situation. You know, certainly I lived it myself, and I can empathize with every woman going through it. I get angry for women who have to be in these relationships for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, you know, who don't know the truth. And just are horribly miserable because they think that their marriage is, you know, falling apart because they've done something wrong. But once the news comes out and these men come out and they go and lead a gay life, it seems as if the women feel such a sense of shame that they're afraid to tell anybody because society looks at it like, what did we do wrong to make our husbands gay? Or why were we so stupid that we couldn't figure out that they were gay? And it's just, you know, I'm trying to get women to speak up and stand up for themselves, especially in view now of the whole movement of Me Too, where women who've been sexually abused are telling their stories, which is the only way you get the message out. You have
right.
to be willing to stand up and say, you know, I've been a victim.
Right.
So,
right.
But with our women, it seems like the men come out of the closets and the women just start digging deeper into the closet to keep this secret. Would you have any insight on that?
Yeah, I think, you know, the issue of shame is, you know, it's a very, it's an emotion that starts very young. And, you know, I wonder if some of these women who are unable to tell that their, you know, husbands, future husbands and husbands are gay, I wonder if they're not already beaten down within their own family, you know, family of origin or the family that they grew up in. I'm just wondering if they didn't
mm-hmm.
have some type of harmful or lack of nurturing relationship with their parents so that they were already there, you know, that issue of, there's an issue of priming in, and grooming in, you know, the development of an unhealthy sexual relationship. So, you know, people, I wonder if they're not groomed within their own families to not believe in themselves, to doubt their worth, and to maybe, you know.
I think that's very true. And in so many of the cases of many of our women, there's a prototype. And I think it's exactly what you're saying. A lot of our women
yeah.
have come from dysfunction. They've come from families where there's drugs or alcohol or mental illness.
Right.
And
yeah.
they were living in an abusive life at home. And when they met somebody who was kind to them, you know, they weren't looking at a very big picture, just a small picture of this is something better than what I had. And
exactly.
not understanding about gay, just that somebody was being nice to them or someone who loved them, you know, at least superficially or on the outside, or even if it's limited, it was better than they were seeing. So
yeah.
I think that's very true. I think a lot of our women do suffer, so they're already molded
yeah.
into keeping quiet, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's again, it's we. There's a concept called, you know, in the trauma field, and I'm blanking on the term that's being used, but it's more like chronic traumatization, where the idea is that there wasn't one, you know, there's two types of trauma, single incident and then some type of ongoing trauma or multiple trauma
mm-hmm.
incidents. So when you have a woman who is growing up in a family, like you're saying, where there's drug abuse or where their parents abuse alcohol, fight a lot. You know, they're really being traumatized, and so there's a part of them. You know, like when you're experiencing that kind of trauma, the most common defense strategy is just to tune out, you know, to dissociate from what's actually happening, to escape from it as much as possible as a young child. You know, young children can't leave. They can't run away. They can't open the door and go out the back door and escape a, you know, loud and, you know, scary fight that their parents are having. So, you know, they've kind of learned to kind of turn a blind eye, to tune out, to dissociate. So they're missing a lot about, you know, the damage that people can do. And so, you know, again, they find some relationship in a gay man who's trying to be straight, probably is very charming for them and, you know, is very attentive to them and their needs. And like you say, they're fooled. And, you know, before too long, they realize that, you know, they're not being physically abused, or their husband may not be, you know, yelling and screaming and demanding sex. They're just really distant and disconnected. So, and like you say, they're going out all the time looking to hook up, but, you know, the wife is just is clueless or is turning a blind eye. But, you know, my guess is that you would think that eventually they're becoming aware of what's going on with her husband and just too scared or too upset to really confront the issues.
It's funny because sometimes, I mean, I just find this as a common ground. There are many of our women who are married to men, it's true they're gay, but also narcissistic in their behaviors. Even some have antisocial behaviors, but for the most part, you know, narcissism, where the world has to revolve around what their needs are and what their wants are. And,
right.
You know, it's kind of as if the woman doesn't really have much say in anything to start with from the
right.
beginning. And if she's silenced in her own home through her years of dysfunction in the family, just moving into this situation, you know, sometimes she doesn't even realize that there's anything wrong. She's just used to living this way.
Right.
You know, I used to call it with my ex-husband, he used to, you know, shout me down to shut me up. And it was a very
right.
effective method of keeping me silent because I didn't like conflict. I didn't like
right.
yelling going on. So you just
right.
get to the point where you just give in because you don't really have a say without an eruption coming. And I think it's a way that you can really start, you know, setting a pattern for women not to stand up for themselves because you're just afraid of what the consequences are.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I feel that's very common with the women that we have. We're good, kind, loving, caring women. I always say straight wives make the best wives because they're always trying so hard to make something work, not understanding that it's not going to work, but they always take, you know, self-responsibility for it. Like, you know, and then
right.
the husbands will tell you, you know, if you go to them and say, well, we want to go for counseling, and the husbands say, well, what for? Well, I think we have some
right.
problems in the marriage, and he'll say to her almost all the time,
yeah.
I'm not the one
right.
with the problems. I don't have a problem with the marriage. You're the one who has a problem with the marriage.
Right.
You know, to once again make her feel even worse about herself and question herself
exactly.
what's wrong with her.
Exactly.
But
yeah.
I think that when you live with somebody who's constantly, you know, telling you that you're wrong and that, you're not nice enough, pretty enough, attractive enough, you smell, you know, who's constantly insulting these women, you know, to the point where you don't want to ask anymore.
Exactly.
You know, you don't want to ask for anything anymore because you just don't feel worthy of it. My concern
exactly.
is, maybe you can explain as a therapist to women, because I think this is so important, when children see this behavior going on, a lot of our women feel that they don't want to rock the boat because it's not healthy for the children to come from a broken family. I feel it's more broken to keep children in a situation that's broken and that, you know, you're just setting a bad role model for their future because what they see at home is what they model for themselves. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously you have to kind of go by, you know, case by case and not, I don't think there's a general rule that one should follow, but certainly to have a marriage where the father is gay and the mother is straight, and the mother feels devalued and degraded, and the husband, behaves in emotionally and verbally abusive ways towards her. And you have to say that, you mentioned that gay men say their wives smell, and I mean, that's a really common. I wasn't gonna mention it during the show because it's a podcast and it's being broadcast. But it's one of the most offensive things I've heard gay men, in the closet, talk about their wives. They smell. I don't want to have sex with them or get close to them. It's like, it's really kind of a bizarre, form of sexual abuse. I think emotional sexual abuse to,
Absolutely.
Degrade and to. And demean their wife's, sexuality. So, at that level, it kind of borders on a more evil type of relationship abuse that occurs in those kind of marriages. And as far as the kids go, I think in general, like if you think of the level of stress that those children are experiencing, it's extremely damaging. And what is it like for boys, to grow up in that kind of environment where they're seeing their fathers be so distant from their mothers, going out a lot, and the mother's unhappy, they're aware of that on many levels. So what's it like for them to begin perhaps to suspect that their father might be gay? I think it's really damaging to their ability to, form a healthy identity, themselves, as young men.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't some type of, toxic masculinity issues that those boys, kind of get into as young adults, where they try to act more masculine, more tough, more, aggressive than is really healthy for them. So I think, I think in general, it's difficult to say there's one rule, but one would say if there's a lot of stress in the family, it is going to be very, very damaging to the children, and partially because, the elephant is in the room and no one's really talking about it. So if in fact the couple could, if the wife could be empowered enough, and this is why the work you're doing is so important, creating a support system and, a nationwide support system for women to have someone to talk to address their concerns and fears, to validate their suspicions, and for those women to stand up to these men and divorce them is a very, very healthy thing. And for the children to learn, dad and I got married, but dad is gay and wants to have sex with men, and I am not willing to be married to him anymore, and that's why we're being divorced. So I think that would be a much healthier outcome for children than to, live in a very stressful, hostile environment. And I think, as you've said many times, this is a problem that affects, probably millions of families. I don't know that there's, I know that I was at a gathering once at a friend's wedding, and they, his wife referred to one of her uncles as being light in his loafers, and it was sort of like she was sort of saying it as a funny statement, but I don't know if that her uncle was gay, but what if he was gay and everybody in the family knew it but kind of played along with the secret? What would it mean to those her uncle's children that everyone was,
I think the problem is that when you keep it, I think that keeping it a secret, this is my feeling, is saying right away there's something wrong with it. And
right.
I think this is where the whole problem is. If we have to keep gay a secret, then gay must be bad. So
right.
that's a bad message to give people, because how are guys ever going to come to terms with themselves if they think it's going to be a bad thing?
Right.
And I know it's very hard. It has to be the hardest thing. I work with so many gay men who want to come out to their wives. You know, say
right.
maybe a couple of hundred a year. Not as many. You know, women I work with a lot. But men, at least a couple of hundred a year, I get letters, calls, can you help me? And it's usually after
right.
they've already met somebody and they're already in love and they want to leave the family. But the point
right.
is that some of them really do struggle. They really wanted to do the right thing, but, you know, that's not who they are. And they can only feel trapped for so long. And it's not their life to live. But if we keep it a big secret, then it's already alluding that there's something wrong with this, the way that somebody is. And I just think that makes it so much worse.
Yeah.
I believe secrets destroy families. Do you believe that too?
Oh, definitely, of course. Yeah. It's like, you know, and really, you know, the idea of acceptance is it begins and almost ends with the family. I think that, you know, if these men can grow up in families where there's open discussions about sexuality, and, you know, it's clear that if one of the children is gay or bisexual or questioning, that it's really okay for them to talk about it. And it's okay for them to, you know, to follow their own ideas and their own feelings. That's the way to eliminate shame in someone's life. But, you know, so many of the men I've worked with, not all of them in marriages with straight women, but just, you know, living alone. I mean, highly successful professionals who, whose surviving elderly mothers don't even know that they're gay. They've never come out to anyone in their family, and they, even though it's probably a well-known secret, you know, so it's, you know, that secret really is, you know, for any of these men, that secret keeps them separated from their families. And it's a, you know, it's something they do probably because they're afraid if they come out and tell their parents that they're gay, that they're going to be rejected. And, you know, that happens a lot, right? So, you know, whether or not their concerns are valid, it's very damaging to everybody, you know, involved. So, yeah, if families were more accepting and our culture was more accepting, then, yeah, I mean, gay men wouldn't marry women, you know, in order to pass. I don't think there would be as much pressure on them to
right.
You
know, and I know it's getting
better
today
women.
Than it used to be, you know, so much better than when I was growing up. But still in all, depending on what your religious background is, what your cultural, or, you know, background is, what so many different factors, even though it's better today and more modern today and people hear about it more today, it doesn't make it any easier for some people with whose parents, you know, are church people or, you know, different religions. I mean, it doesn't matter what the religion is. They all have, you know, fundamentalists in every religion, and none of them are pro-gay, whether it's
right.
Christian,
of course
Muslim,
not. Yeah.
Jewish,
yeah.
You know, the fundamentalists
yeah.
or strong Baptists. There's no way they're going to be
right.
accepting it. So there
no,
are those
not at
people
all.
Who
no.
religion, right? And I think it depends a lot where you live also. Some areas are more liberal than others.
Of course.
Other places are not nearly as liberal. And so, you know, wouldn't be accepted. But do you find that when you're working with men, maybe when they do come out, I see that a lot of men decide to come out after their parents pass away. Like that's the defining moment for them. But they don't have to keep a secret anymore from their parents.
Correct. I think that's very true. And at the same time, I like some of the really young men that I work with. You know, they're much more able to come out, and their parents are much more, even in more kind of strict Catholic or religious settings, I think the parents have been awakened. You know, their parents are aware that you know, being gay isn't like a lifestyle choice. It's something that, that, you know, their children have been born with for the most part. And, you know, it's more important for them to be loved and accepted than, than to be forced in some way to be straight. You know, it's. I think every family has these issues. And again, I heard from one of my clients that her sister was very hostile to the same-sex marriage movement, and that she believed that homosexual relations was a choice, that people weren't born gay, and that, you know, and she believed that for many years and was part of one of those evangelical churches, Christian churches that, taught that and preached that every Sunday. But apparently she read a book. It was written by a young gay man talking about his struggles with being gay, his, the struggle he had himself with it internally, and then the conflicts with his family and how important it was for him that his parents love him, and, they did therapy and all sorts of things. So, and his sister, my client's sister, changed her attitude. She began to believe that, have a different and more accepting belief about, gay men and homosexuality in general. And I think that's, that's kind of the hope, for the world, really, not just our culture, but other cultures as well, that cultural diversity will be, more respected than it has been, in the past and than it is right now. But it's definitely, I think it is getting better. I know there's just more, when you and I were in grade school and high school, there was no such thing as, the gay liberation movement or, the idea of some type of, political movement to allow same-sex marriage. That was just that would never even be, discussed in any, any kind of setting whatsoever. Yeah. But,
are you working
so
at
I think
all
that's,
people who are trans?
No, I'm not working with any.
Are you working with any people who are transgendered?
No, I'm not. No.
Okay,
but I do know a little bit about it. There's a whole, there's an emerging field in the integrated health area, where, medical practices are specializing in helping families whose children seem to have some gender confusion. And, they're doing some really wonderful work, helping families and, in many situations, they're allowing there to be, the children they're going through a lot of testing and the families are, actively involved in the process. And some of the children are actively going through like hormone therapy, before puberty, so that, when they hit puberty, it's like they're going to be maturing in the gender identity that they feel inside versus, the alternate gender identity. So little boys who feel like they're girls and identify as girls and have gone through all the testing that's required and the family's very involved and very accepting of the process, so those little boys can go through, gender reassignment and mature as adolescent girls and not after they go through adolescence as boys. So they're much more able to be accepted. It's like there's nothing, there's a many, famous cases of, men who, like, really right now, what's the name of the famous sports guy who's married to the Kardashians?
Oh, Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah, Bruce Jenner. So rather than someone like him who struggled with that for his whole life, and changes gender, reassigns gender later in life, you have a lot of young boys who are able to do it early, and kind of move more comfortably into the comfortable gender identity. So, so that's a whole other area, isn't it?
It is, but it's an area that I've been taking women into our support group because they're in that situation, and they don't have any place else to turn. So I guess it's a close match. It's not the same exact thing, but it has the same devastation for a woman.
So you're having women who are married to men who then go through gender reassignment. Yeah.
Right. And it's very hard for them as well because, you know, a lot of times the husbands can't understand, like, I'm the same person, I'm just looking different. And,
right. You
know, I've had the women tell me that that's not the case for them. You know, they married a man. They don't want to be in bed with a woman because that's not who they are.
Right, yeah.
And sometimes men have a very hard time understanding that. They can't get it, you know, but I get
it. Right, yeah.
I wouldn't want to have to be in that situation.
Of course. Yeah, there's more, you know, it's a lack of, you know, sensitivity. So,
yeah. A lot of times there are these sexual situations. You know, it's interesting. I was talking to somebody this evening who happens to be a gay man who mentioned to me about bisexuality, and he said it's really interesting for men who are married, you know, who are supposedly bisexual. Why are they only looking to pick up men and not women? And I thought that was a really good thought about that. That, you know, you can call yourself bisexual, but if you're only looking for, you know, hookups with men, then that's, to me, just kind of, you know, that's not really what the issue is. Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that. It's, you know, it's like it's along the continuum of being gay, and it's, you know, very difficult to, I mean, it doesn't mean that there aren't men who enjoy having sex with men and women. I've worked with men like that. What they'll say is that, you know, it's fun, but they really are, you know, like when they talk about the kind of when you add an emotional attraction, they're really only attracted to men for kind of relationships and sexuality. They're not, you know, they're not attracted to women, other, like you say, other women for a relationship. So, yeah, I think it's pretty, you know, it's like, you know, the idea of being a bisexual man is like a code word in a way for a gay man who's still struggling with that identity.
Right. Or a gay man who wants to be married and have gay sex.
Right.
Because it doesn't seem to me that the women I know whose husbands are bisexual really have an interesting or satisfying sex life with their husbands to start with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another excuse.
There's really just like a very, very small percentage of men, I forget what it is, but it's like under 5% that identify themselves. Like when you look at those surveys, you know, that are done by the Center for Disease Control, for example, you know, the estimate is very, very low. But, you know, even a very low estimate, under 5%, means that there are, you know, millions of men in our country who are saying they're identifying as bisexual. So, you know, so I think, you know, it is a very risky time, you know, for young women. And in my practice, I do have a lot of young women who are looking for relationships, and even, you know, older women who are looking back and, you know, kind of grieving relationships that didn't work. And quite often, you know, the reasons the relationship didn't work turn out to be that, you know, the man was gay and, you know, was able to take the relationship just so far, but, you know, was unable to really make, you know, more of a commitment. And it's like the more emotionally involved the relationship becomes, it seems like the more difficult it became for, you know, for the men to, you know, to engage in a, you know, the mature sexual relationship with the woman. But with women, young women who are dating and looking for husbands, I spend a lot of time talking with them about, you know, the fact that, you know, that's fair for them to ask questions like, well, have you ever, you know, in a direct way or a roundabout way, have you ever had attractions to men, and have you ever had sexual uh-huh. relations with men? And quite, you know, it's quite frequently, you know, men will admit that they did, and it, you know, it's you know, shattering to the woman who's looking for a husband, but it's much better for them to understand that this is a, you know, potential factor in this relationship, and, you know, maybe it's time to, you know, to end that relationship and move on.
I think it's more confusing for women because I think of the fact that I was in a situation like that myself when I was young, when I was maybe 26, that I was going with a guy who I went with in high school, and we hadn't seen each other for a few years. You know, I was really mad over him. I won't say madly in love, but I really cared about him a lot.
Yeah,
and we
right.
met up 10 years later. I was living in New York at that time, and he was in somewhere in Massachusetts in the Berkshires. And we got together, and after 10 years, you know, we were talking about what's been happening. And he said, well, since I was going with you, I've had 4 relationships since then. You know, and I said, well, tell me about them. He said, well, 2 of them were men, and 2 of them were women. And instead of this being like a big red flag to me, I said, well, that's really unusual, I would think, that you were with 2 men and 2 women. What was that about? And he said, well, you know, I just had to question myself, and that's why I wanted to be honest about it and try it both and see which way I really felt. And I realized that I'm not gay. You know, I'm a straight man. And it sounded good to me because we just don't know enough. You know, maybe today we know more, but I don't think so. I think women are still confused. And I did
right.
go with him for a while. And, you know, we went together for maybe 6-7 months, but it just didn't feel right to me for other reasons. And so, you know,
yeah.
I ended the relationship. And then 4 years later, 5 years later, we stayed peripherally in touch, you know, on the surface. And one
yeah,
day I called
right.
his house, and a man answered, and I said, is, you know, this person home? And he said, no, he's not right now. Can I take a message? And then I knew. And when he called me back,
yeah.
I said, is that your partner? He said, yes, I know I'm gay. So,
yeah.
But I didn't know, Bill. And I think that women get confused that they think that men can change, right?
Right, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, it's, I know in some situations it's, you know, again, you don't know whether the man was gay, you know, 10 years ago or not. He's not around and there's no more contact with him, but it sure sounds like there were some, you know, sexual orientation issues. And, you know, women were like, they're kind of shocked to even think that that might have been possible. You know, they're more like you were saying earlier, like women feel so ashamed when they're with a man who like doesn't feel attracted to them. And they work so hard
mm-hmm.
to try to change that to be, you know, to be women that, you know, would be able to attract that, you know, the man in their life. But it's helpful. It's, you know, it's helpful for women to kind of understand. And that's in my own practice. And maybe that's a book you should write, or maybe you have written something
uh-huh.
like this. But it's really important for women to know that there are men out there dating who, may have sexual feelings towards men, but are still but kind of saying to themselves, well, I'm not sure. And I still enjoy being with women and having relationships with women. It's important for them to know that. I know that like most of the women,
yeah.
like the 26-year-olds are, you know, they're dating
yeah,
and like they don't have a clue that the guy they're dating could also be, you know, hooking up with men later at night at bars. So,
yeah, I mean, and these guys are like what we call serial criminals. I mean, they go, they leave one woman, and you think, okay, they came to terms with themselves. No, they go and marry another woman while they're still having sex with men. And if she finds out and she leaves, he's going to get married again. And that's
right.
so frustrating to women, knowing that their husbands are gay. and yet they're
right.
going out and marrying, and, you know, the question always comes up, well, should I let her know? And my feeling
right.
is, let her know, you know?
Oh, yeah,
I mean, I would want to
yeah.
know. And,
yeah,
you know, of course, they go and say, my wife is crazy. She used to tell people I was gay, you know, to throw them off. But at least once you put the idea in the woman's mind, she's going to think, as time goes on, maybe there's some truth to it.
Yes,
right?
Of course. Definitely. Oh, I think it's, you know, I think it's very important. I think if, you know, a woman who is married to a gay man knows that he's marrying someone else, I would think it would be very appropriate for her to, you know, for her to learn.
Yeah, I totally agree.
What
with
happened?
You. So,
yeah, definitely.
So, Bill, are you doing a therapy now outside of Chicago or no?
I'm not doing any therapy outside of Chicago. I'm actually organizing some webinars that I'll be publishing hopefully soon. They'll be more educational. They won't be like, you know, psychotherapy. And as you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but it's illegal for a licensed professional to practice in a state without having a license in that state. So, you know, I'm not actively doing any phone therapy or Skype therapy or anything like that. My practice is really busy right now, although, you know, I've stopped working on Saturdays. So for the first time in about 15 years, yeah. So I'm, you know, at 65, I've decided I better slow down, and it feels like I'm on vacation now, and, you know, waking up Saturday morning late and then working, you know, sleeping Sunday. It's all good. So, but I know that you're doing a lot. You're still doing your annual workshop, aren't you, in different cities?
Yeah, we're having our Healing Weekend coming up in a few weeks on April 29th and 30th in Virginia. And I'm really excited about it because, you know, it's just such a rewarding experience having women who are so isolated. That's the one thing about the situation. It makes women feel so isolated, you know, that they feel like they're the only ones, because who do you talk to about this? Because there is that shame factor. And that people don't understand it, and people question you, like, how could you have been so stupid? Or, we always knew he was gay. Okay. You know, all the things that you go through that just make you feel worse than you already feel. So, you know, we do tend to keep it a secret, and this way you can get your secrets out, talk to other women who are moving ahead, because people who come to this are at all different phases of recovery. And we have some wonderful therapists who are coming there also who work with our women. You know, to try to get them on the right path. Yeah, so it's a really exciting time for us.
That's great.
I know. I'm hoping maybe to have one in Chicago one day so you can be our guest speaker.
Well, that would be,
that would be
terrific. I was thinking that when I make more progress in organizing these webinars, I'm going to, you know, invite you to do a webinar with me so we can, you know, kind of memorialize this and get it, you know, maybe reach other, you know, more women, you know, who are looking for a support system. So,
that'd be wonderful, and I'm more than happy to get send out whatever information. I know that we have about 7,000 women listening to this show every month. So
7,000.
That's basically. Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
I mean, they're from all over the world,
great.
But you know, a lot mostly in the United States, but a lot from outside the United States too. So whatever information, I'm happy to pass it on. For my women in Chicago, because we do have women in Chicago, trust me, if I had to go to a therapist, I'd probably fly to Chicago to see you, Bill. One of these days I'm going to have to start doing that probably. But I'm being stressed out. You would be the man to go to, because I always find you so comforting and so understanding, so supportive to the women who are going through what we are. You get it. You don't question it. And, you know, you have so much experience working with people, so you can see through all kind of lives and couples play, right?
Exactly. You know, we're sitting with gay men who are acting straight and, you know, just kind of waiting for the moment of awakening to occur, you know, so,
You know, the only thing I just want to tell you that... might be great if you, whatever I can do to help promote your webinars, I'm happy to do it. Because I know that women can only gain by, you know, watching them.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I do want to tell you that I think that I've come to a new conclusion that I tell people that, you know, I'm tired of arguing over who's gay, how gay, a little gay, a lot of gay, sometimes gay, not gay. So I've changed my terminology now. I don't care if you're asexual, bisexual, confused sexual, gender, this, whatever sexual you are, metrosexual, anything other than heterosexual. I just call people not straight, and it seems to work better.
Yeah,
you know,
I think
that way I don't have to label them.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, and you're not.
No pressure on you. You're just not straight.
I think that's really, you know, it's very good, and I think that that's something it's a lesson I'm trying to help some of the young women I'm working with who are looking for husbands to understand that, you know, that if they're looking for a straight man, they have to make sure that he's straight.
Anything else will be a problem. Right.
Exactly.
If he's not straight,
it doesn't
matter what variety of not straight he is, not
exactly.
Straight.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, these women have a right to know everything that they need to know about their potential husbands. And certainly if there's something, as you say, like something that is, you know, like not straight about their sexual orientation, that's something that has to be, you know, explored openly within the relationship before, you know, so a woman can make an informed choice. So, yeah.
Exactly. Then I think it's hard for them to understand it. All they know is that some man loves them, so he has a few little quirks, you know, they can work it out, but it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
It doesn't
change. Right.
It doesn't get better. If anything, it just gets worse as time goes on because the man doesn't belong there to start with. He's just more frustrated.
Exactly.
So hopefully women will start learning that lesson, and hopefully you'll keep teaching it to them, maybe through your webinars, what to look for.
Yeah.
When it comes to this.
Right.
It'd be great.
That's,
so I can't believe that a whole hour has already passed, Bill.
Okay. All right.
We're coming to an end. Are there any last final words you can offer our audience?
Well,
how can they get in touch with you?
I'm, you know, my name is Bill Martin, M-A-R-T-I-N, and they could just Google me, Bill Martin Chicago. I'm kind of all over the internet there, and I'm easy to find, and I'd be happy to help in any way that I can, you know, so.
And I'm going to put it on the broadcast page here also, so that when people are listening to the broadcast, they'll see your name. I'm going to put your number down if that's okay.
That's definitely, yeah. And they can, you know, my email address is pretty easy to bill@billmartinchicago.com. So, and I want to stay in touch with you too, Bonnie, and get the dates for your weekend and, you know, try to publicize that here in Chicago too for women who might be interested.
Thank you so much, Bill.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'll look forward to having you back because, you know, I'll be nudging you again in a few months.
Wonderful. Yeah. Thanks for the invite.
Great
to talk to you. All right, take care.
All right, same here. To all of our women, have a wonderful week, and I'll be with you again next week. Bill, thanks a million again. Good night.